The second shear of Shovavim, according to the sign. Oh, this looks like the second shear already. Okay. So we'll finish our chalk. As I said, last week was, I found it interesting. I hope you did. Now it gets boring. The idea, I mean, the harchokos, so last week we, it really could be, you could really make like a, last week we talked about sitting together. No, the technicality, one seat, two seat, the idea is sitting together, that's a problem. And traveling together, that was the other area, that's what we covered last week. Sitting together and traveling together. Now, the first topic we'll cover tonight is eating together. Eating together. Now, that has many forms. When Chazal made their hachokas, but I'm trying to, like, that's really what we're talking about. Sitting together, traveling together, and tonight we'll start off with eating together. Now, eating together has four like, subcategories, we'll call it. Eating from one dish. Eating at one table, that's number two, eating at one table. Eating leftovers, that's the third area. And serving, right? One of them serving the other one. I mean, we'll, okay, now we'll learn the specificities of the halacha. But they would all be grouped under, like, eating together. It's somewhat intimate. Sometimes you'll find in the Achrayim, if you look in the Achrayim, if you learn the Achrayim, once in a while, they'll talk about chashash negia and the like. So, okay, but basically, the idea is the intimacy created. So, we'll go through the halachas, and we'll try to cover some common scenarios. So, the first area is eating from one dish. They're not allowed to eat directly. Directly means taking it from the plate, putting it into their mouths. They're not allowed to eat directly from one plate. Now, this is even a dish, a plate with different compartments. So you could have dried fruit in one compartment and chocolates in another compartment and pistachio nuts in the third compartment. That's called they're eating from one dish. And they can't eat from one dish. Certainly from a bag of pretzels or a bag of popcorn, and they're eating from one dish. Now, the simple solution that so that's what's awesome. Now, if you put it on their on your individual plate, you just take it from that same dish, and you don't put it right into your mouth. You put it down on your individual plate, then it's okay already. If you put it down on the table, not on a dish, not on an individual dish, but on a table, the Achrayim play around with that. It seems to me that what if it's the derech to be on the table, like there's a basket of challah, pieces of challah on the table, so you're right. So you both cannot take from the basket of challah and eat the challah. That's both eating from the same dish. But here I would say, it seems to me that whatever is the derech to put on the table, not on a plate, so then we can go along with the sheet that that's enough. If you just put it down on the table before eating it, or maybe even the pretzels and popcorn would be the same way. But things that are maybe the derech, let's say you're both taking a piece of meat from the same plate, from a center tray. So that, I don't know, you're not going to put it down on the table, but that's something that usually goes on a plate, so that would be put down on a plate. Now the Achrayim have a good time discussing, I'm trying to make it interesting, that's why I'm saying such casual lashonos. The Achrayim talk about, you know, you say, okay, they talk about using the same slab of butter, right? Yeah, butter. So they're both taking from the same plate, they're taking the butter, and they're putting it on the challah, on the bread. If the bread's not on the plate, maybe the bread's on the table, so that's the questionable, but maybe the bread's in their hand, and they're both taking the butter, so that's a problem, right? Because they're both taking food from the same dish. And wait a second, what about using the same salt shaker? They're taking the same dish, which is our salt shaker, and they're putting it on food. So if the food's in their individual plate, so then you're okay, because everything's going into the individual plate. But if it's in your hand or on the table, perhaps, it could be a problem. So things like salt or salad dressing, things that are not really food, right? But there are things like salt or salad dressing or things like that. So some achrenim are makil because it's not really food. Some are machmir. Again, if it's going on to something that's on your plate, you see, in this case, maybe we'll combine the shitas and we'll say, we'll go along with the shitas that being on the table is good enough if you're dealing with things like dressing or salt, because some shitas hold the whole thing doesn't apply to things like dressing and salt since they're not a food. So you'll be machmir with that, but then it's enough if it's on the table, not on your plate. Okay? Sugar is usually not a problem. Sugar, same thing. Okay. Now, ketchup is a problem. Could be a problem. Now, another way of dealing with this is if one of them takes and then says, okay, I'm not taking anymore, I'm finished. So then the other one could take, because they're not eating together anymore. Like, even though it's punked from the same dish, but it doesn't have that quality, we'll call it, of eating together. If one of them said, you know, I don't know, it's whether you don't have to announce it. But if you take and you're not going to be taking any more, so then the other one could take from the dish and it's not a problem. Okay. So if the waiter's going around with the hors d'oeuvres, you know, with the hot dogs, little pranks and jackets, and then one of them takes one, and you're not putting it down anywhere, it's going right into your mouth, so you say, okay, I'm not going to take any more. But I always lie anyway about that, so I don't know if I'm them one to say I'm not going to take any more. Okay, what?
Sharing with everybody, why is going around to 100 people?
That doesn't matter. Eating, we're going to have this, there's times when that does matter. Eating from the same, eating like leftover, there's times when that matters, but here, Rav Moshe has his own shita, this whole inyan. Rav Moshe has a different shita. Where he's machmir and mekil, he says if something's intrinsically a single portion and you share it, that's what's osur, even if you put it down on an individual plate. You share one portion, something that's intrinsically one portion. You share a bagel, you have a roll, you know, share it. Or you have a small bottle of water, or a small bottle of soda, something, a can, that's like one portion. Not a big bottle. So Rav Moshe says that's usher. And the contrary view, he's makel. And if it's something that's made for two people, it's not one portion. So Rav Moshe has like his own shita. The achrenim really don't subscribe to it, don't go along with it. So if you want to be machmir, that's good. So being machmir means if it's something that's intrinsically one thing, then he holds, right? So you can't even put it down. Putting it down on an individual plate doesn't matter. I would imagine, even according to Rav Moshe, she could take a challah, not one. According to Rav Moshe, I would imagine also you could take a roll. And one of them could decide, you know, I only want half a roll. Like, you can't force me to eat the whole roll. I only want half a roll. So you're caught off half. So I guess even Rav Moshe would be moider then that the other one can take the other half. You know, you've decided that all you're going to be taking is half a roll. Okay. So that's it. That's the first kind of eating together called eating from one dish. The second kind of eating together is called eating at one table. You can't eat at one table. What? You can't eat at one table? So that's only scary if you're hearing the halachos for the first time. But if you're familiar by now with number one is a heker on the table, is right. A heker is some. It has to be basically between them. If they're sitting here, like, and the heker is over there, that's not good. But it doesn't have to be like aligned exactly between them. It should be basically, if in English you would call it, it's between them. Then it's between them. That's enough between them. Now, it has to be something that's not usually on the table. But what you could do, and this is really the, I think, the best thing, the simplest thing to do, which really avoids any embarrassment or any such problems, is you could take something and be miyached it. This is always going to, so it could be an everyday object. Now, if you take something and you miyached it, that this will always be on the table when she's a nida, when she's tamei, so then you could take an ordinary object that would always be on the table and is not nikar, is not noticeable that there's something unusual there, if you're miyached it. In other words, if you're not miyached, then you need something that really has no business being on the table. That creates the heker. But if they miyached something and say, whenever she's tamei, so this particular glass will be on the table. What?
Even though it's on all the time?
No. Oh, your miyached, this will be on the table when you're tummy. Yeah. So then it could be an ordinary looking glass. And, I mean, it can't be that ordinary because it doesn't look like your other glasses because you have to know which one it is. But then you could have something that's very, blends in with the table. It could be a phone book, like, you know, a small, you know, your private phone book that would normally be on the table. So you say, you know, whenever she's telling me that's going to be on the table, that phone book. So the heker is it could even be food. I mean, I don't know the scenario, you know, there'll always be a, you know, this kind of soda on the table when she's telling me. But the yichud has to be to always use it. It can't be for this meal. For this meal, you can't. That's mamash what the halacha says. It's not a heker. It's not a heker if it's something that would normally be on the table.
But the first time you use it can be at the time.
I guess I would apply the rule called there's always a first time. There's always a first time, right? Yeah.
What if there's something that's not usually on the table on the table? One of the kids left a toy on the table. You sit down with your wife to eat. Do you have to say that's the heker or... There.
That's a good question. If you would normally take it down and not leave it there, and that you choose not to, then I would say, yeah, you could say, okay, that'll be the heker. Yeah, when I'm answering you, if it's something you would normally remove, but if it's something you would leave there already, then I would say no.
And then what do you have to do?
Something you have to put on a heker.
That's that would be on
if it's something that you would normally take off, then yeah. But if something you would normally leave there, then no.
If it's something you would take off, you still have to say, this is the heker? Like you have to say to your wife, this is
the heker? Well, yeah. There's no point if you don't know. It's not much of a heker if no one says it's a heker.
What? Only one of them is eating?
Well, okay. If only one of them is eating, there's no problem. If one of them is eating, the other one could sit there. Some allow... You know, some allow even if they if one of them sits in an where they don't normally sit, but that maybe, you know, once the kids start growing up, that's maybe a little nika. You want to avoid that, but some say that's enough of a heker if you sit somewhere else. A very commonly used heter, of course, is that if someone else is at the table, and it could even be a child. Once the child is once you're gairus that the child's there. Once you are careful what you say, let's say an 8-year-old, but don't hold me to it. Don't call, what about if it's 7? I don't know. We'll say an 8-year-old is good enough already if to be called someone else. So it could even be your child, someone else sitting at the table. Now, some achrenim insist that the person be in between the man and wife, and some say that's not necessary. I think sort of a consensus. It seems to me like you want to combine different factors so they don't. You don't have to sit between if the man and wife are relatively far apart. So then you still need someone else at the table. It's still called eating from the same table. But then if they're far apart and there's someone there, so the person doesn't have to be between the two. It doesn't always work out. I just had such a shayla. Someone just emailed me such a shayla. Bottom line halacha, does the person sitting at the table creating the heter to eat at the same table, does the person have to be between them? So the person wrote me that it wasn't a theoretical question. If it was a theoretical question, I would say you should really try that the person should be between. Try to be machmer, or at least try that they should be far apart. or somewhat, but the person already was telling me an actual scenario that was going to be developing, and said it was like embarrassing. You know, it was hard to work out. So, I don't know, they couldn't work out a hecker. You know, there's so many loopholes. But Akabanam, I said, it's okay. The shita that it doesn't have to be between is a fine shita. It's not like a weird kula that doesn't have to be between. What? Okay, that would be a case, even though you don't want to be there anyway. What? It has to be Nikar. That's it. If it's Nikar, it has to be Nikar. No, really, it has to be something you'd notice is there. Okay, moving along. Now we're talking about leftovers. And here we are mitzamsen the problem to his eating her leftovers. Where's Dr. Blass? Is Dr. Blass here? We need a psychologist here to tell us the Chazal's insight into some dynamic that for some reason the intimacy of eating leftovers is only if he eats her leftovers. I guess the woman, since she cleans up, she's expected to eat all the leftovers anyway. So it's begeder malacha, not chiba. You know? My mother, Leah Shalom, claimed she liked the bones. You know, that was she had to eat up the bones. Okay, so Al Kaponim, the Isser of leftovers, that form of, quote, eating together, unquote, is only him eating her leftovers. Now, this means even if they're not eating together, they're not eating from one plate, but she ate something, she left it on the table, and she went away. Oh, well, that's bad. Sorry, I misspoke, because the Isser happens only to be in her presence. But I mean, she's not eating anymore. She put it down. You're not letting her eat her leftovers. Now, she has a plate of cookies. Leftover is only the cookie that she ate. Doesn't have to be she bit into it. She could have broken off half a cookie. So the other half a cookie is a leftover. The other cookies in the plate are not her leftovers. But remember, there's another Isser of eating together. If there's a plate of cookies and they're both taking cookies off that plate, that was the first thing we talked about. But if you don't have the problem of eating together in that way, and we're just talking about the Isser leftovers, so we're talking about just the cookie that she ate. Now, leftovers is only from an individual plate. Here's where we say, if it's on a serving tray, which is meant to serve many people, and she took something from there, it's not called, what's left is not her leftovers. Remember what I just said about the cookie. It's only the cookie that she took from, not the other cookie. But if you have something like a salad or rice, which is also like individual pieces, but then it is called leftovers, right? If it's that's called leftovers. If she ate some of the rice, then the rest of the rice is leftovers. If she said, again, if she splits something into two and she says, that's all I'm eating, then the other half is not leftovers. The other half is the other half. She decided she's only eating half of whatever it is. Now, leftovers is also mutter if you put it onto another plate. If you don't eat it directly from wherever it is now, put it down into another plate. It's only called leftovers if it's an individual portion. If there's a challah and she cut off a piece of challah, the rest of the challah is not called leftovers. It's not called her leftovers, because leftovers is only from an individual portion. It's only leftovers if she, in her presence, it's only usher. If he's unaware that it's her leftovers, you don't have to tell him. And therefore, if you have any problem with leftovers, you haven't been listening, because you got to like really think hard to think when it would be usher. Okay, and she can eat his leftovers. That finishes leftovers. Okay, we're finished with the leftovers. And we're moving on to serving. Serving. You can't serve each other. You can't put something down. I'll talk about, with apologies to any feminists who are here, I will talk about her serving him. Even though the Issa goes both ways. But that's just... Okay, I'm going to talk about she serving him. Okay, so she's not, but it goes both ways. He's not allowed to serve her either. Okay, you can't serve the other one. See, I'm getting better already. You see? I'm in Beis Tila too long. You can't serve the other one. Now, serving either means being magish the portion, or if there's a cup in front of him and she pours in, let's say, water, let's talk about something that's immediately edible, la'afuke, coffee, which he would never drink black, so it's not yet edible. That's not usser. But let's say she pours in orange juice into a cup in front of him, that's no good, that's called serving, and bringing him the cup of orange juice or the plate of food, that's called serving. Now, all food and all drinks except water. Did I say water? So that was a bad example, because water grinder is mutter. What about this fancy water that costs so much in the store? That's also a mutter. Lay plug. Water's water. Okay.
Water is mutter.
Water is mutter. It's not chashuv. It's very expensive. That's because you're foolish for buying it. You only went from Chazal. Yeah. Not you, Chazal. Not you. No, you know something? Maybe it's not so poshut that the chash of a filtered mineral water. Maybe it's not poshut at all that it's mutter. I take it back and I don't want to make a joke out of it. I have to look into it. Maybe it's taka. Because the point is, water is very not chashuv. Maybe you go to, you know, Perrier, you go to a restaurant, it is chashuv, right? It's very chashuv. So maybe a taka. I have to check it out. I can see it's not that it's like a usher also. It's not a din in water. It's not a din in H2O. It's that water is not chashuv. Yeah. It's not a chashuv a drink. Okay, good. She could bring a tray onto the table and a pitcher. I mean, she could put it down. Something that's for everybody, not just for her husband, she could put down on the table. In other words, she can even put it down in front of him. If it's not just for him, it's for everybody. So she can put it, you know, she can bring a bottle of wine to the table, even, and put it down in front of him. It's not for him, the bottle of wine. I'm talking about in a case where presumably it's for everyone sitting at the table. The Achreinim are making, I'm sorry, yeah? You're right, then it's a problem in the Chanami. The Achreinim are making, if it's not raw yet, to drink, which means she can bring him a cup of black coffee. If normally he doesn't eat black coffee, and he'll have to be adding sugar and milk to it. Nichlal in the Isra of serving is if he has black coffee in front of him, she can't, well, not just black coffee, she can't put in the sugar and milk for him. She can't pour the ketchup onto his macaroni. Right? That's called she's serving him. Okay. Now, what did I see that was a big kiddush to me? Maybe she can pour him a cup of the kiddush wine. If there's other people by the table, so maybe that's inherently for everybody. Even though he's making kiddush, but you normally give it out to everybody. So when she pours the kiddush wine for him, so she's really doing it for everybody. She's not just serving him. So I saw that and I was like a little surprised because he's making kiddush. So he needs this wine in front of him, but I saw it as a kula that is like very possibly mutter. But again, the eitzah of serving is so easy that it's almost hard pressed to think of when it would be usher. And that is just not directly in front of him, put it off to the side in a way, how to define off to the side, in a way that he has to bring it to himself. That's all. He wouldn't eat it from where it is. He would move it. So once he would move it, that's already mutter. It's not called you're serving him. If you put it down in a way that he has to move it.
What if the everybody at the table with children kiddush? What if the everybody at the table with children
yeah.
kiddush?
That's still called she's not serving him. Once it's for other people, even if the other people are children. Is that what you meant?
Yeah.
That's okay.
Regardless of age.
Yeah, once it's for other people. Yeah. I'm sorry?
The normal way that something is served at a meal is that, let's say, the mother pours the juice out for everyone in the family.
She can't pour something that's miyuchet for him. If there are five cups in the middle of the table and there's only five people at the table and he's one of the five, she can pour in all five because there's not one that's miyuchet for him. Well, anyway, it's not in front of him, I just realized. Even if it's in front of him, all five, she can pour all five. She can't do that. Right. Okay. By the way, she could prepare his plate. There's no problem with setting the table. She could set the table. She could set his place if he's not there. I mean, not food. She could set his place. Arranging the place is not a problem. She could put the food in the plate if someone else brings it to him. Right? And she could put down a center plate. We talked about that already. Okay, it's mutter if he's not there. If he's not at the table, she can put it down in his place. She can do it derech shinui with her other hand. If she always serves with her right hand, she can put it down with her left hand. I would imagine it would have to be nikar to the husband that she's doing it in an unusual way, because you want to negate the aura of intimacy that's caused by serving, or you want to make a hecker at least. So I guess he would have to notice it. Okay, so the basic aterim is if he's not there, if it's with her left hand, if that's nikar, if it's not directly in front of him, those are the basic aterim. Or if it's not individual to him, it's for a group. Yeah.
What if your wife accidentally
served? It's mutter to eat. Okay. The fourth isser when it comes to food, right, we had eating from one dish, eating at one table, and eating her leftovers, right? Those are the three things. And serving, okay. Those are the four things. A subset, I guess you'd call it, of serving is a very specific thing. It's only him to her, sending her a cup of wine. And that's even if someone else is in the middle, you send it through someone. Even if she's not around in the room, you send her a cup of wine. And so that's a problem. Now, the obvious place that this comes up is by Kiddush, right? Because perhaps by Kiddush, you always, when she's not Tameh, when she's Tar, you always end up sending her the wine. You say, here. So you're sending her a cup of wine. So there's a lot of ways around it. Some people would consider always doing it this way so that it shouldn't be noticeable when she's not Tahor. So you make Kiddush, and you just pour it into a central cup. And you let everybody figure out what to do. Right? You just pour from the Kiddush cup into a cup. And people give it out, that's all. Okay. Some people, if someone drinks in the middle, it's okay. So sometimes there are people who make Kiddush will drink from the cup and then pass it around and everybody will drink from the cup. I'm not learning Hilchas Kiddush now, whether that's a good thing to do or it's pogum or not. Many people have the minhag to do it that way. So if someone drinks the wine between you and your wife, so to speak, to someone in the middle, then it's okay. In other words, even though really, sort of ostensibly, you're passing it to her, but it's called you're passing it to the person that drank next. So that's okay. You can have five cups in front of you and just pour into the five. That's all. And even though there's only five people around the table and she's one of them, but then someone... at some point someone's going to pick up the cups and start giving them out, but he didn't send it to her.
If everyone, including your wife, has their own specific cup, but you don't send it to her, you just pour it to all the cups and the kids know to take it, that cup to
her. Yeah, that would be okay. Right. The issur is mamash to send her a cup of wine. Okay. And since she can eat his leftovers, remember that she can drink from the cup of Kiddush. Right afterwards.
So how is he not sending it to
him? If he doesn't send it to him. Yeah, puts it down.
It's just Yayin.
The only, this unique Isser is only Yayin, only him to her, and it's sending it to her, sending her a cup of wine. It comes up in Kiddush and in Koshel Bracha, let's say, by benching. That's where people would.
And what are the
it really always comes. You really always have to be careful. A chasan kala always have to be careful about that. She's usually not tor by the sheva brachas, and they're dealing with a cup of wine, and right, there's a natural. There would be a natural inclination to, yeah, but it would be a natural inclination for him to give her wine. So you have to be careful not to do that. That's probably the most prevalent scenario. I'm almost finished, Rabbi Olsay. You hang in there a couple more minutes and you're free to go.
Would it include anything you can be
with? What?
Within Yayin, anything that you can
be with? No. No, only Yayin. There's nothing to do with Kiddush. I just mentioned Kiddush so much because that's really, well, I don't know, maybe in other people's houses they drink wine for supper. Really, I shouldn't be so quick to. You can take her out to eat when she's not Tahar.
No, grape juice
probably is wine. You want to be Yotze Kiddush with it? Oh, that's what you meant? I'm sorry. I misunderstood. I'm sorry. Yeah, grape juice is included. Yeah, we'll talk about that at the end. What things.
But it's not a shot in all intoxicating beverages, the same group.
Wine. The din is wine. Yeah, wine. The din is wine. You can send her a cup of Jack Daniels.
Again,
yes, grape juice is wine, Lagabi, this halacha. Just like it's wine, Lagabi Bur Priya Gofen, and Lagabi being Yaitza Kiddush, and Arba Kosos, and Havdolah, it's wine, Lagabi, this also.
What if you pass a cup, let's say, you pour a cup, pass to the person on your right, who sends it around the table? You have no idea which one's going to end up in your
table. No problem. Okay, so we're finished with eating. Or at least my wife always wishes we would be here. Okay, now we're up to sleeping, beds. Yeah?
You or your wife are a guest at someone's house.
I'm sorry?
You or your wife are a guest at someone's house. And the husband passes you two cups of wine. Okay, so now what do? You put them here, your wife is sitting over there.
You
how does she get it?
Bend down to tie your shoes. Really? You bend down to tie your shoes.
Let me ask you this. Can
or you develop a coughing fit.
Can you take both of them and put them in between both of you? And you take one. In other words, you move them over here. They're both here. Can you take one and she takes the other?
She should take first.
Possibly. I don't want to give a definitive answer now. Possibly, yeah. If you want to email me and I'll have time to be okay. I hear.
Let her take first.
What?
Let her take first.
No, he. But he. She's not near the wine.
Yeah, but he said take two between you there, and then she take one of them.
That's worse if she takes first. If you put down both and she goes first, that's more. You gave her the wine. I would say you should take first. Then you put down both and. That's my tzad. If she takes first, I see that as being worse.
If you do, you don't know which one
she's going to take. So why? Yeah, that's the svara why it would be mutter. But the reason I think it's also more than if you just put down a tray of five, maybe it's the same. If you put down a tray of five, so everybody takes one, it's not determinate which is her. But if there's only two and one is you and one is her, but you put down two and at that time it's indeterminate which is you and which is her. I don't want to give a definitive answer. Okay, please email me and I'll have more Yeshiva Das and I'll think about it or I'll look it up and see. Okay, beds. You need two separate beds. A headboard is a problem. There are makilim. If the headboard is, but I don't know what to say. You know, it's where I come from. It's we're talking about a headboard that's connected to the bed. The two beds can be far apart, but there's one headboard. A headboard is part of the bed, the pashtus, and therefore it's not two beds. It's like one big bed, just like a bunk bed is very possibly one big bed. Right, a bunk bed, and many achronim, aser, want to sleep on the top and want to sleep on the bottom because it's mechubar, it's one big bed, that's one bed. So, one headboard makes it into one bed. It's a connecting thing. So many, many asurit. There are makilim, and I don't know, if you bought your furniture and that's just the way it is, ask a shayla what you should do. It's serious enough that you should ask a shayla. There are makilim. If the headboard is unattached to the bed, by the way, which many times happens, then it's perfectly okay. It's all right. And even if it has the tsura of one headboard for both, again, we're talking about different beds, but it has one headboard, but if the headboard is not attached to the bed, then it's okay. Okay? How apart do the beds have to be? It should be nikkur that they're apart. So the Achrenim give shiurim. I mean, I don't chas v'shalom mean to make light of the shiurim, but, you know, it should be apart. That's all. So something should be apart. They shouldn't touch each other if they're sleeping. The blankets shouldn't touch each other. This shouldn't touch each other. It should be nikkur that they're apart. That's all. It shouldn't... That's all. Someone that walked into the room would say, those beds are apart. That's all. That's the shiur. There's no specific problem. Some say that as the shiur of how far apart the beds should be. If you have one canopy, that's okay. Right? Maybe if you go on vacation, that would be... You'd have such a bed. A bunk bed is very possibly one bed. A high riser, so the problem is what? There's a bar that connects them, right? In a high riser, you take out one bed, but they're connected by a bar. I didn't delve into it that much. For some reason, they're more makil there. Maybe because the bar that's connecting it is not really, it's just, what is it for? It's really to keep it together. What is it for? I can see, like, the headboard gives it the tzura of one bed. It's so much a functional part of a bed. So, but the bar is just to make it easier, really, to push in and out. So maybe that's why they're more makel by that connecting bar of a high riser. Okay, so that's issa one of a bed, that the beds have to be separate. Number two is sleeping on each other's bed, or the husband on the wife's bed, really, is much more chamur. The bed means not the place where the bed is. It means the mattress. The mattress, and if she has specific sheets that are nikar, are hers. No, she likes Mickey Mouse, I don't know. You know? Or the quilt, if it's nikar, then it's hers. So that when it comes to bedding, it would be if it's nikar that it's hers. She has ones that are miyuchata. If you just throw it in the laundry and then everybody just takes whatever they, when it comes out of the laundry, that's not called hers. But really, this is really, we're talking about the mattress. The mattress is the basic yisur. And even if they switch positions, that's no good. And adraba, if they switch mattresses, so it's okay. Even if they, in other words, if they switch mattresses, then even if he's sleeping in the place where usually his wife sleeps, but he's sleeping on his own mattress, that's okay.
The mattresses aren't nikar.
That doesn't matter. It's miyuchatar, it's her mattress. They don't switch mattresses. What I meant by nikar is that they don't just switch off. It's not indeterminate. Lamarshal, again, if you go, if people live... If you decide to develop a lifestyle where there's no miyuchad bed for him and her, and they just switch off, like whoever goes to bed first at night gets the one furthest from the door, and there's no, and it's taka different always, then this issa does not apply. Indeed, it has to be her mattress, her bed. So if you go to a hotel, let's say, or you're a guest in someone's house. So, and you decide, again, so if you're miyached, this is mine, this is yours, or they sleep one night a certain way, so that usually is miyached, the bed. But if they decide beforehand, they're just gonna, like I say, whoever comes in first gets the bed, that's whatever, so that's furthest away, so then and chalami, the issa doesn't kick in. Now, he's not allowed to lay on the bed, he's not allowed to sit on the bed, even if she's not there. What?
Take everything out of the room, everything gets mixed up.
make a difference? Do you have to, like,
the mattresses get mixed up? Yeah.
You have to,
okay, so then it starts again when you start again. Anachanami, you don't have to be careful to mark them. Okay, the most common, like, it's interesting, the most common application of this issur with the sitting, you know, would be you visit your wife in the hospital, she had a baby, she's not tahor, and she goes out of the room, you know, you can't sit on her bed. This is her bed, you can't sit on it. That would be usur. Now, the achreinim on Mekil, if she's out of town, it's like, she's out of town, so I guess, like, she's in the hospital, she had a baby, and you're home, so you could sit on a bed, and if it works out with guests, you have guests at home, you know, and it just works out better. I'm just saying that's not the reason for the heter. I'm just saying that would be a common scenario where it just works out good if you could sleep on her bed, and then someone else. What? No, even sleep. If she's away for a few days, like she's mamish out of the picture for a few days. How much is a few days? I don't know. Till a few days. Kama yomim. So you could then they so you have this after birth, you have this a lot of times where she's in a Beit Achlama. So what happens if it's a Beit Achlama down the block, like on Sarotskin? Good question. I don't know. Does it have to be out of town for a few days or just
she's not coming back,
right? So I don't know. Ask a Shaila, I'm not so sure. What they say for sure is out of town for a few days. If it's in town but out of the house for a few days, or certainly it does not mean if she's in Yerushalayim for the day shopping and you're in Beit Shemesh, you cannot sit on a bed because she's not in town. That's not the case. It's also okay, someone just had a Shaila, I won't say how recently because I don't have anybody to think about anybody, but Taka, you know, sometimes after a birth, then just mitzad the nursing, like it's just easier if they switch positions, and they couldn't switch the mattresses. They said the mattresses were like massive things, and it was like a huge, big thing to move the mattresses. And I almost couldn't think of an eitzah for them. I didn't have an eitzah. It's like also, I couldn't think of an eitzah. Like, you know, something, most of the time you're sure, you can figure something out. I'm not such a good rabbi, I guess. I couldn't think of an eitzah. And it was miyuchad, So, you could switch, but she has to be Torah when you switch. She can't be tummy when you switch. No, you can decide to switch beds, switch mattresses, positions, whatever. But again, it's not the place that's also, it's the mattress. So you could mamish, if you switch mattresses, it becomes mutter. If you just move the mattress, then you could switch the position of the beds, and it's okay. Okay, the other inyan by a bed is making the beds. And again, like by Tfilas HaDerech, for those who was here, we really have a very change in the whole inyan. And what do I mean? In Chazal's time, making the bed was how you prepared it for sleeping. As it wasn't roi to sleep on. Making the bed meant making it roi to sleep on. Not making it presentable in case someone walks in and I'll be embarrassed because it looks like a mess. It was, that's why, like, you see in halacha, can you make a bed on Shabbos? And you, like, scratch your head sometimes wondering what the shaila is, because you prepared it for Motzei Shabbos. Making the bed meant preparing it for sleeping. When Chazal asked her to make his bed in his presence, it was really with that in mind, that it's preparing it for sleeping. The way we make beds, which most of the time, you know, this, the bed is stripped and the laundry was done and now she's putting on the sheet. So, and a chanami, she's preparing it for sleeping because you're not going to sleep on the bare mattress. But the usual morning making the bed is not really what Chazal had in mind, but no one wants to stand up and be matir it. And it's so easy to get around the iser. Well, it's only usher in his presence, and he doesn't even have to walk out of the room. The achrenim just have him, you know, the wife could say to him, you know, honey, or maybe she shouldn't say honey, that's a different issue, we'll get to that in a second. Can you turn around for a second? I want to make your bed. And that's all he has to do, is just turn around. And that's, he doesn't even have to walk out of the room. So that's, it really is not a problem.
Is that symmetrical also?
What?
It's also symmetrical, husband and wife?
No, it's only him to her. Oh, no, no, wait. Sorry. Made a mistake. Both ways. But in the presence of the other one. Okay. This is even when they're guests. Okay. In someone's house. Bedspread. Bedspread is what? Really, the achronim on note, they're very much lahakel in what we call making the bed, because it's, you know, she's only cleaning; she's not doing anything. She's cleaning up. But again, it's only because it's so easy. All they have to do is turn around, so they say, "Okay, be machmir." But what's a bedspread? What's a bedspread? That's that. So that is preparing for sleeping when you put on a bedspread. When you take off the bedspread. Oh, so that would be the more... Again, Chazal's Isser is preparing it for sleeping, not cleaning. That, keep that in mind. So again, if the bed is stripped, then you're preparing it for sleeping when you put on a sheet. Okay. It's really... We finished our chakos. Now I'm going to talk in general things that Chazal did not Isser. Many women are... Bisman tum osan, many women, people, you know, they worry. They think it's important. Although all these isurim exist, something you have to be maybe extra sensitive to your wife's feelings, because adaraba, maybe you should not maybe. You have to be sensitive that maybe it's a time to show more. So it's a thin line, because you can't have intimacy, but you should be more caring about her, and you should show that you still love her. There's nothing wrong with the word love. You should show her you still love her. It's, you know, many women are stressed out, b'shas tumasan. Many men are stressed out, b'zman tumasan, but that is something I would be talking to the women about. But I'm talking to men now. So you have to know that it's a different kind of stress. You understand? But many women are stressed out. Bisman tumasan, and you have to reassure them of your love, and you're allowed to buy them presents. You can bring them flowers for Shabbos. Flowers, stamazai, I don't know. To me, flowers denote indeed a certain intimacy of an expression, and maybe that should be avoided. You know, you can bring them a box of candy, something else, a book that they like. You should be sensitive to their feelings. Bisman tumasan. Many women have to be reassured of the husband's love and caring. But again, everybody, you have to use your seichel. You have to use your seichel. You have to strike a balance, because in the spirit of what Chazal asid, so even things that are mutter technically, but you know, many times it's certainly one of the things that you really should avoid, even though as much as I try to find the Beferish, it doesn't say it, is this idea of going on a pleasure trip or taking a walk together in an intimate type of fashion. You know, maybe in a deserted area, looking at taking a ride to look at the foliage in the fall. I don't know, again, I'm thinking of America. You go for a drive in the Palisades, right? It's beautiful. And that's something that's really more of an intimate nature, so it's not usur. It's not usur. If you have bucket seats in the front, it's not usur. So, but it's something you should avoid. You have to use your seichel. The usur with all these things is to use your seichel. Oh, okay. You could buy a present, etc. You could even play a game with her, but you know, make it chess and Scrabble. You know, don't not boggle. I don't know. That's just a joke. I don't know. I did leave out, I'm looking at my paper now, I left out, okay, she can't prepare water for him to wash in his presence. Now, the only time we really do that, it's mutter, because anything that's for a mitzvah is mutter. Okay, so she can't turn on the bath for him, you know, he can't have her turn on the bath for him in his presence, but that's only in his presence. But Nagel Vasa, or Mayim Achronim, and so that's mutter. Again, the Isser is preparing water for him to wash with. So that's usur for her to do to him in his presence. Okay. Jumping back. By the way, if a husband or wife is sick, That's a heavy inyan that I'm not going to go into, and there's a lot of coolness there, and it depends which one is sick, and I'm not going to talk about that even. You have to come ask a shayla and sit down and get a whole detailed instruction list of how to be misnaheg. Many times it's nageya with touching, with helping them walk many times. It's not practical to have another person in the house, and they push it, can't walk without someone helping. They can't walk, you know? So there, you know, that's something that you have to come and get instructions. Every case is different. There are certain coolers that could be done, certain coolers can't be done. Again, it depends which one's sick. Very different halachas in the inyan of sick. And that's something you just have to come and get instruction about if and when it happens, chas v'shalom. We shouldn't know from any illness or any sickness. Jumping back, I'm sorry I didn't write it well, so I'm jumping back and forth. Jumping back to the Stam Hisnagos Bimei Tumasa, she's allowed to put on pretty clothing for you. She's allowed to wear perfume. She's allowed to look nice. She's allowed to endeavor to look nice. Again, Seichel has to be used. It does say that the man is not allowed to intend, be miskaven, to smell her perfume, to enjoy a scent that she's holding in her hand even, which obviously besamim is a problem on Motzei Shabbos. If she's holding the besamim and he sort of bends over to smell it, that some say it's a problem and some say it's not a problem because it's a mitzvah and it's not associated with her. Perfume is associated with her. If she happens to be holding some hadassim, that's not associated with her. So try to avoid it if you can. A woman cannot sing. Oh boy, a woman cannot sing for her husband when she's not tahor. She cannot sing for him when she's not tahor. What do you do Friday night with Tzemiris? Shama Mekel, if there's other voices in the room, if it's something you feel is. It should be, I'm going to say it should be avoided, and if you feel it's problematic to not do it Friday night at the table, the chadoyme, come ask me a shayla. Okay? And that's all. But in general, it's also. I'm not talking about Friday night now. She can't sing for him. Friday night, this and that, if you're faced with a situation where it's problematic, come ask a shayla. She can't play an instrument for his enjoyment. She can't sit down by the piano and play for him a song. Okay? That's like singing, and it's usher.
If your wife was just singing to herself around the house, you have to...
What was it? I didn't hear the last five words.
What would be appropriate?
You don't have to run out of the room, but you shouldn't listen to her. Sneeze sometimes is a problem. This is really more for the women than for the men. He's not allowed to look at... Oh boy. He's not allowed to be mistakel in parts of her body that's normally covered. And this is why many rabbonim can't understand how a husband could possibly be in the room when she's giving birth. Because it's inevitable that when she becomes not tohor, he's going to be looking at a mokum mechusa shebegufa. And that's why many say, like, no, you're not allowed to be in the room. That's what they're talking about. That's why you're not allowed to be in the room. When she's nursing, it's also to be mistakel, to be mistakel mekomos mechusim. Now, the most obvious question is hair. What is hair considered? Now, so there are women that always go with that always cover the hair in their house. So. If that's the case, if that's what she always does, then the hair is a makom mechusa, and it's also to be mistakel at her hair when she's not tohor. Okay, if she walks around the whole house, which is technically mutter, maybe inadvisable, I and the chazal about it, but it's certainly technically mutter to walk around her own house with uncovered hair. So then he could be mistakel in it when she's not tahor, because it's a makom megula. It happens to be a makom megula. Sometimes you have women who will cover the hair in the house, But in the bedroom, let Dafka overnight. In the bedroom, she always has her own covered here. She doesn't bother covering it in the bedroom. It seems to me, I'm talking to Svara now, that then it would be called a Mokum Mechusa. In other words, if her Mokum that she's Megala the hair is always in the bedroom, then it seems to me that should not, that should be, but normally she goes with it covered, so then it's a Mokum Mechusa, and indeed it's he should not be mistakel in it when she's not Torah, not even in the bedroom, because obviously there's an association there.
The term mistakel,
no, it doesn't mean to steer. It means to look as opposed to see.
So seeing,
not to steer. To look as opposed to see.
So you're saying seeing is no problem with...
If you see it, you don't have to do tshuva.
Right.
But if you look, then you do. And a lot of times it's a thin line. A lot of times it's 0.50 seconds, the difference between seeing and looking. Okay. That's it.
Mitzvah Shem. So she's allowed to bring you water to drink?
Water, yeah, water's water. I'm a little nervous about the fancy
regular
water, really.
Regular,
the regular water she's allowed. It says chutz mimayim, as they state. Not to wash with, though.
Not to wash, to drink.
Yeah, to drink. Oh, we have an answer. If she brings some water to wash, we should quickly drink it. I made up with someone to talk now. Meanwhile, he's not here. I made up 10-15. We can talk for a minute and a half.